great joy to be here in Chicago. A great joy to be here in this historic church. I love history. And great joy to be a part of the Dean Bergen Society and a part of the battle for truth in these days. Amen. Of course, directing missionary organizations, sometimes you get pretty thick skin, don't you, Brother Gomez? And you can don't even have to drop a hat for me to fight. But I have to have the Holy Ghost to make me gracious. And so I'm so thankful for what we're seeing developing. And I was just thinking about the whole day together. It hasn't concluded, of course, but starting off with Brother Reno. And this is the day of advancement. We're giving reports about the advancement of the received text and the traditional text throughout our beloved republic and to the ends of the earth. Amen? I'm very excited about what's going on for the glory of God. Let me invite you to turn, if you will, to the book of Romans, chapter 3. And I want to look at the first four verses. Romans chapter 3 and the first four verses. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much, every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles, and you'll notice it's plural, the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and might overcome when thou art judged. Now I'm here to report a part of his story. Which is history, isn't it? We've been enjoying some history today, the history of an advancement of the gospel among the Cheyennes. We've been enjoying his story, the advancement of the gospel among the Spanish-speaking people. And I want to be part of that history, and I not only enjoy history, by the grace of God, I want to make some history. Amen? Amen? And first of all, I want to speak to you about this parallel, and that's what we have here reading from today. It's a parallel King James Version Choctaw Indian Bible. And I want to thank God that it's based on the received and the Masoretic text. And I want to thank God now, what we're reporting on this afternoon wasn't just a year, as Brother Reno, or 9 years, as Brother Gomez, but the brethren who have been working on this, and a sister as well, we're talking about 19 years of modern labor to bring to pass this parallel King James Version Choctaw Indian translation. Now, let me back up a little bit, if I can, because in 1874, in a publication entitled Early Bibles of America, the first part of any known Choctaw language translation took place in 1825. And it's interesting to me because you can understand the heartbeat of the translators. It was actually a publication of a spelling book. It included the translations of the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, the Parable of the Rich Man and Lazarus, no doubt dealing with the doctor of hell, of course, and then the third chapter of the Gospel of John. Back in 1825, God had raised up some translators who were qualified and burdened. You know, I would just be reflecting the whole meeting. Aren't you glad God uses men? And whenever he's getting ready to do something, he doesn't get a committee together. He raises up a man. Is that not so? I think it was Brother Spurgeon said, when the scripture says, lead me not into temptation, it means, God, don't put me on a committee. But anyway, God raised up four particular men who translated the Choctaw, scriptures into the Choctaw language. And one of them was Reverend Cyrus Byington. Eventually he became Dr. Cyrus Byington. Another man was Reverend Alfred Wright. Another was Reverend Cyrus Kingsbury. And the fourth was John Edwards. Now these men were part of that missionary explosion that took place after the second evangelical awakening. Now, we know that our situation in our beloved republic is not going to be solved by politics, not even in the third party. We certainly know it's not going to be solved by money, because we're not going to have any. God's striking at our last God, which is money and materialism in America right now. But aren't you glad that God, in His great providence and love for our republic, has visited us six times in a Holy Ghost moving of God? And the second evangelical awakening, there was a great raising up of men of God and missionaries to carry the gospel not only to the ends of the earth, but also here in the West. And in fact, these men, Cyrus Byington, Alfred Wright, Cyrus Kingsbury, were part of the missionary explosion that took place at the American Board of Commissioners for Foreign Missions. They were basically either Presbyterians or Congregationalists. And they were the same group that sent out Adoniram Judson, who on his way to meet William Carey decided that he better have his arguments and ducks in a row, was reading his Greek New Testament, became convinced of believer's baptism. When he met Mr. Carey, proceeded to be baptized, I think, by Mr. Marshman, there on his profession of faith, and wrote a tremendous book on believer's baptism that's been put into print just again recently, or reprinted recently. But part of the explosion from the American Board of Commissioners affected the Indians. As Brother Reno mentioned today, there are over 500 tribes of Indians in America. Many of the reservations are closed to missionary endeavor because they're autonomous parts of the nation. Let me illustrate it. We had come to our church in Asheville. A couple sent by a pastor from Cherokee, and there are 22 Baptist churches in Cherokee. And he was sent over to attend our church because the tribal council had thrown him off the reservation and his wife for selling and using drugs. And now you come back onto the reservation, we'll put you in the jailhouse. I wish we could have a place to send our people. Amen. You see, the sovereignty of the Cherokee Quala Reservation, own police force, own tribal council, etc., etc., etc. But, beloved, there was such a missionary explosion that under the American Board of Commissioners, of Foreign Mission, 300 folks surrendered to missions among the Indians. Now, would to God we'd have that same explosion in these days. If there was ever a proof that throwing money at a problem doesn't work, is the American Indians. The first welfare program in America was the Bureau of Indian Affairs, taking the very heart out of the Indians making a living and earning a living by the sweat of their brow. But nevertheless, God was gracious. And He raised up this brother called Byington. And I want to spend a little bit of time about him because he was a key translator in the Choctaw language. And I was particularly excited to read about his conversion in that second evangelical awakening. Quoting from a record of the old Stockbridge Mission Station, which happened to be located in Stockbridge in Massachusetts. The account says about Cyrus Byington, all about the details of his being raised in the houses that he lived in, etc. And it says during the revival of 1818, he was converted. Now that makes a good beginning for a translator. Old-fashioned Holy Ghost conversion will qualify a man as God gifts him with other gifts to be a Bible translator. And he could actually point to a particular dwelling there where was the place of his second birth. The account goes on to say, after engaging for a time in the practice of law, he decided to study divinity and entered the theological seminary at Andover. While there, missionaries came from Georgia. And one of the professors hinted the subject of missions to Mr. Byington. The seed of thought took root, for the plowshare of the Almighty had prepared the soil. And then one of the missionaries visited him with the professor and talked to him of Indian missions. My heart, he said, and I love this, caught fire, and I said, here am I, send me. Wouldn't it be gracious of God, even the Dean Bergen Society, for God to put his hook in some heart and say, by the grace of God, I want to give an accurate translation to a people group for the glory of God. Amen. The plow—I like that terminology. The plowshare of the Almighty had prepared the soil. He said, "Here I am. Send me." Said the professor who observed that his mind had been ill at ease. Now, isn't it wonderful to have a professor that's so spiritual that he can understand that the need of that young man was maybe to be confronted with an old missionary? And God to use that old missionary for the glory of God in the heart of that young man. So he's converted. But then he was not only called, but there was great preparation as he made preparation there, both in the seminary, but then as God worked in his heart to make further preparation. And those preparations ended up that Mr. Cyrus Byington spent 45 years among the Choctaw Indians. Now, the Choctaw Indians were located in Mississippi, south what's the big city there, Shiloh, Memphis. And then they were removed over to southeastern Oklahoma. There still is a band, they call them the Eastern Band of the Choctaws there in Mississippi. They call them the Choctaw Nation in Oklahoma. There's some down in Alabama. There's some out in California. Now, when the Bible was being translated into the Choctaw language, the American Bible Society printed the first New Testament of the Choctaw Indians, there were only 15,000 Indians among the Choctaws. Today, there are nearly 200,000 Choctaw Indians scattered across the world. And so, it's interesting, as Brother Byington and other missionaries, and here's another account taken from the website called the Chronicles of Oklahoma, and Presbyterian missionaries and mission churches among the Choctaw and the Chickasaw Indians. It says, Dr. Cyrus Byington was a remarkable scholar and a recognized philologist. He was graduated from Andover Newton, and tells what he became. Dr. Byington's Choctaw Grammar and Choctaw Dictionary were works of permanent value. His Choctaw Dictionary tells where it's found. And then he also wrote questions on the Gospels of Mark and Luke with brief explanations. And during his labors, he faithfully labored again and again and again among the Choctaws, sometimes a great deprivation. Because, see, they got involved among the Indians in the war between the states. And some of the supporters dropped out the support. Mr. Byington at one time had to farm. But he was not only a translator, he was a preacher. He had a circuit of over 100 miles and established several churches and even physically built some of the meeting houses. But had not only a gift for translation, a heart to give these Indians the good word of God. Now, the translators spent much time in labor in performing this difficult though important work, the missionaries believed that if they had a strong native church was ever to be settled, the Bible had to be made available to the Indians in their own language. We see in Acts chapter 2 that great principle that God talks to folk in the language of their heart. Now, I had Greek and I had Hebrew, and I'm sorry to say, neither one took very well at all. And God doesn't talk to me in Greek, and God doesn't talk to me in Hebrew, but He sure talks to me in English. Thank God for that mercy. Amen? But you know what? God talks to folk in the language of their hearts. And so here you have now this explosion among the Choctaw Indians. These portions of Scripture was interesting to me to read because as they were translated, they were printed. That small portion in 1825. Then there was another portion translated in 1827. And then there was another portion translated. It happened to be the Gospels of Luke and St. John and a few chapters of Mark done in 1831. They were printed. And then there was another printing in 1839. And then there became another printing in 1841. Now, I've looked at the problem passages, so-called, and compared them since I received this, and this is important because this Bible only arrived last Friday in the USA. And so that's what caused my heart to change about what I needed to speak about in these few minutes. But the thing that thrilled me about Byington was his commitment. Now, remember, he was a lawyer before God called him to preach. And things got difficult, and the folk from Massachusetts said, well, why don't you just come back home to practice law, and things will be a little bit different and perhaps much easier. He said, I came here for life. Amen. Here was a commitment for life to get the Word of God into the Choctaw language. You say, well, what's so significant about this today? The significance about this particular parallel English Choctaw Bible is that this is the first time in the history of the Bible printing for the Choctaw people that all of these small books have been put together in one book. Never before has the Old Testament portions been bound together with the New Testament. Now, there's still a great need among the Choctaws, which brings me a little bit up to date, because they only have 40 of the 66 books translated. So Brother Gomez is farther ahead with the Spanish Bible, but there is now again a group of young men who've been called to preach, who have stepped back, learned the grammar, learning Hebrew, learning Greek, and God is raising up a fresh band. And these happen to be Baptists at this particular time to pursue the translating of the rest of the Old Testament scriptures. In fact, there is already the book of Proverbs, not included in this particular edition. Also in some of our reading, and I was talking even this week with the chief brother who's overseen this, Reverend Raymond Johnson, who pastors a Choctaw-speaking church, First Indian Baptist Church in Smithfield, Oklahoma. And we're talking about the book of Jonah. He said, no, I don't think that's one that's been done by this other group that Brother Reno mentioned, the Wycliffe translators. I don't think that's what it is. But I discovered in my research that there had been a book of Jonah done way back in the 1800s. So we're trying to find that. Now, you know, it's amazing. You start trying to do something for a group of people, you find out what has been done, and then finally you're able to put it all together. But, beloved, what a great opportunity. So we're here to give thanksgiving to God for this remarkable fact that all of the Choctaw scriptures are finally together in one book, and where they have not yet been translated, and these other 26 books, that there is a King James Version there. So you got the complete text of the King James Version in this Bible. So what a victory that is, but what a challenge that becomes to those Choctaws who love the Lord. Now you say, well, Brother Doom, a lot of the Indian tribes have lost their languages. Well, what about the Choctaws? And the Choctaws are one of the five civilized tribes. And though they number about 200,000, approximately 42,000 of the Choctaws both read and speak the Choctaw language. 50,000, 10,000 more, 10,000 more only speak the Choctaw language and cannot read it. Now, what's happening among the tribes you ought to be aware of is that there is immersion classes being given to the children. There's an immersion class in the Cherokee language, immersion classes in the Choctaw language being given, immersion classes among the Senecas being given, where the children are immersed in the language. But the tragedy of that is they're trying to tie with that, going back to the shamanism and the powwows that were simply witchcraft among the Indian tribes. So would you pray that as these parallel Bibles, and there's going to be 100,000 gathering on Labor Day, and Brother Gomez, we don't have 100,000 copies. There's going to be 100,000 Choctaw Indians gathering in Oklahoma on Labor Day. Would you pray, number one, that the saints of God among the Choctaw Indians would be stirred afresh at the privilege. Now, you'll notice in Romans, it said, speaking of the advantage of the Jews, it said, much every way chiefly, because under them were committed the oracles of God. The advantage of the Jews to have the oracles of God. Now, the word oracles is logio, the word for words. They have the words of God, used three other times in our King James Version and translated as oracles. So what a privilege that we who are English speakers have had well over 550, 600 years perhaps, the words of God in our language. That puts a greater responsibility. Chief every well we have, don't we? But here are the Choctaw Indians. Now they have the completed scriptures that have been translated at a great cost and given to them. But beloved, for those who can't read, that other 150,000, they'll want this Bible because it's the language of their heart. But with the Bible they cannot read is the English they can read. And it's a reliable translation of the English that they can read. So would you pray that God will be mightily glorified in the salvation of sinners among the Choctaw people. That God will be mightily glorified in raising up further folk to labor in word and in doctrine to give those people the remainder of the Choctaw Bible. I don't see any diminishing among that tribe of the interest in the Choctaw. We see that there's a growing interest in starting new churches. In fact, Brother Johnson helped start another native-speaking church, probably about 30, 40 miles away from their present church. They hold their services in the Choctaw language. So would you pray that God will raise up translators? But then let me say this, in thinking about this, not only do we need you to pray for the Lord to bless and raise up qualified folk, but pray for these churches to be strengthened. Very interesting, Brother Johnson's wife, who has been a key player, is dying of multiple diseases. She's probably in her late 40s. They can't do any, she needs an operation on her spleen, but they're afraid if they go in to do that, she'll immediately die on the operating table. She is getting higher and higher doses of medication right now. And one of the reasons we're pushing so hard with the proofreading committees, both in Oklahoma and then in Mississippi, and then, of course, in our own office as we're proofreading the English, is because of the homeboy. And she's invested 19 years in typesetting. And, of course, to do this, there had to be a new font developed that could be used on a computer. And we're praying that God would be gracious, even as this Bible commences to be circulated. It's on the seas right now between here, Korea and USA. You say, why didn't you print it in America? $28,000. That was the difference between printing the same Bible in America and printing it in Korea with delivery to Asheville, North Carolina. And so that difference includes the delivery charge. But would you pray that God would honor the labors of these faithful present-day workers among the Choctaw people for the glory and for the praise of Almighty God?